Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, however you're listening to us, we thank you, we appreciate you. Also, Happy New Year going out to all the listeners that we've come into the 2015. You guys haven't heard from us, I guess, since before the holidays started, so we're just going to pick up where we left off as far as NFL talk. If you weren't aware, the wild card weekend just passed. The Arizona Cardinals played in Carolina. Also, the Ravens played in Pittsburgh and Indianapolis. The Bengals played in Indianapolis, as well as the best game of the weekend felt like Detroit in Dallas. So. I guess we can quickly review these, Chuck, and talk some predictions as far as this week. But the Arizona-Carolina game wasn't the best game to watch if you were just a casual football fan. But it was a good matchup defensively. I am a Panthers fan, but just watching the defense and the linebackers flatter the ball like I saw that last year was – Very, very comforting to see, to know that we could lean on that defense once again. Although they were playing a third-string quarterback in Ryan Lindley, who people are throwing under the bus today, but last week, you know, he threw. He was doing pretty well. You know, he threw for two touchdowns. I believe over 200 last week. So. People gave them a chance, but it wasn't really too much of a game, except Carolina made some mistakes to keep Arizona in it. But, Chuck, I mean, what did you think of this game? How did you feel about it, I guess?
I think you hit it on the nose for me. I think it was a defensive battle. I'm happy Cam got his first playoff victory. I don't think it was a really good game for the Panthers. When I say good, I'm talking about like a complete game as where they played well. I think they got by versus a team that at this point is depleted at the quarterback position. And they're so their offense, basically on their offense, their leading running back, Andre Ellington, injured reserve, not playing, wasn't in that game either. So, they were lacking on offense coming into this game as a whole. So, I was expecting the Panthers to win. I would have liked it to have been more of a crisp win, but I think this bodes well for them in that they're going to go into Seattle next week and they're going to have to win it and all the defensive hammer-out, long, fall game. And I think this was a good matchup to get them ready for that.
Yeah, next Saturday at 8 o'clock. Carolina goes to Seattle, play the game. It's probably going to be a defensive slugfest. NFC football, I'm going to appreciate it. Hopefully Carolina can come out with a win, although Cam is 0-3 versus Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. So we'll just see how that goes. What I will say, though, is Carolina did not play their best game. Offensively, I've seen them play better. Cam looked a little nervous, which he can, second playoff game ever in the NFL. And he still had that chip on his shoulder, wanting to get that first win. So he did play better towards the latter end of the game. And he just seemed to be playing like Russell Wilson as far as the knowing when to take off. And teams are playing so much coverage on him, so. I was happy to see, and also he's doing more of the line now. So I think Carolina did not play their best game, but if they do in Seattle, they can win, although I wouldn't pick them. But Saturday night's game, Pittsburgh you know, hosting the Ravens. Le'Veon Bell did not play hyperextended knee, but Chuck, what do you think of this one, this game right here? Just give me your thoughts on Flacco as well. Yeah, so Chuck. My personal take on this game was the Ravens just looked they looked ready. they looked ready. They looked confident. They didn't seem to fear Pittsburgh. I mean, obviously they played them twice a year, but you know they just you know went into that building in Pittsburgh, Heinzfield, and they just you know took care of business. It was good to see, you know, that they could very well, you know, just keep climbing, you know, 6 seed. They could possibly win again, so, like they did a couple of years ago. Flacco played very well, though. For the last 5 quarters, he's played very well. He wins in the playoffs. He doesn't throw interceptions. He's only thrown one interception compared to, I believe it's 18 touchdowns in the playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, I thought it was a good game. But that front seven of Baltimore, which is getting to the quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, Chuck, what did you think of this Pittsburgh-Baltimore game? Baltimore winning Pittsburgh and got the W.
Well, for me personally, I think Joe Flacco reminds me a lot of Eli Manning in that he doesn't seem to make mistakes in the playoffs, and he seems to become just a better player. He seems to be poised and just make the right play at all the right times. There's one play in particular where Harrison has him right there, and it's a good block. It's a good comeback block by one of the offensive linemen, but the way Flacco was able to maneuver out of it the first time to even give his lineman the chance to make that block is, I think, indicative of the type of player Flacco is come playoff time. He's a very good playoff quarterback. I'll say that about him. Also, the Ravens defense is the Ravens defense. Suggs made that great interception when he caught it between his legs. I think they were able to get after Ben. They were able to rattle him a little bit. I think they did a great job in coverage. It was a few times where Ben just looked rattled and didn't know where his receivers were or where the open spaces were in the field, and I think that has a lot to do, especially with the Ravens secondary getting a lot of slack for them picking up and stepping up big time. I just think it's going to be hard for them versus Brady. I think Brady has a lot of weapons, but I think at least for last week, they proved that they could be an all-around dominant team, and, you know, they could sort of like that 2012 team that made a run to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree. Flacco is a very good quarterback come playoff time. Does remind me of Eli Manning. His last run, though, I mean, I thought they had a better team then, so I don't know if he's going to be able to do it this time. And although they can get to the quarterback, I see a lot of very, very quick passes out the hands of Brady. Come Sunday, you know, just get those DBs, you know, play the receivers one-on-one. But I see that. I mean, they can very well go into New England and win, though, so I'm not going to just doubt them. But I'll take the pass in this one. So I guess we'll get the spreads, you know, in a second. But, Sunday afternoon, we have the Cincinnati Bengals going to Indianapolis. And for the 12th consecutive year, Marvin Lewis has been a head coach for the team. they failed to win a playoff game again. Andy Dalton's now 0-4 in the playoffs. Chuck, I mean, what did you think of this one? Also, Andy Dalton, you know, just the whole Bengal issue of winning a playoff game.
Well, I mean, it has to be one of two things. It's either Andy Dalton or Marvin Lewis at this point, because Marvin Lewis is 0-6, Andy Dalton is 0-4. Andy Dalton is on the second offensive coordinator. I don't think anyone really thought that. I mean, I don't know how many people, at least I didn't think that the Colts were that much better than the team than the Bengals. I think Andy Dalton just can't make enough plays when it really counts, and that hurts his team at the end. That hurts his team when they're paying him $50 million to be an elite quarterback. If they put that $50 million in other places, I think that team is far better. I think it didn't help that A.J. Green was out or Jermaine Gresham. So I will give him and the team a sort of a pass that you're probably missing two out of your three biggest, your best biggest and two out of your three top targets or, you know, playmakers in the on at wide receiver position. But I still think that Andy Dalton is just not an elite quarterback, and he's a serviceable quarterback that who can't really make a play. And once if your team ever gets down, it's really hard to win with those type of quarterbacks. And I think that's just what he is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna put up this whole thing on Andy Dalton. No, I mean, just, you know, he is 0-4, but so is his coach in the last four, and his coach is 0-6 overall in the playoffs. So I have to point the finger at Marvin Lewis or, you know, ownership for, you know, keeping him around, which they probably will again because he just got extended this past year after not winning a playoff game. So, I think they're just going to be stuck with this. I mean, you can get out of that Dalton contract, I'm fully aware of, but well, I don't know who you go get, you know what I mean, unless you draft a guy, but you know, you're so high, you have such a high pick, or late pick rather, in the draft, that it's not going to make much sense. So, I mean, I think I'm the last person to be defending Andy Dalton. I'm not the, you know, biggest fan. He came out same draft as Cam, and, you know, he's had, I guess, mildly more success, but you know, Cam has a playoff win already, and Dalton doesn't. So, I mean, I think that it does come down to coaching and, you know, why can't you get your team over the hump? I feel like, you know, Marvin Lewis has been there so long. It's just, I think that he's, you know, the finger pointing should be pointed at him. I do understand that A.J. Green wasn't playing, though, so they'll probably get him a pass, and he'll be back next year, I'm sure. But I don't want to, you know, take anything on Indianapolis. Their defense played well, stepped up to the challenge. I've always liked their DBs. I like Vontae Davis a lot. So I wasn't surprised to see them win at all at home. So the last game yesterday, Chuck, Detroit came back. Dallas came back and beat Detroit 24-20 after they were down 14-0 at one point. Chuck, what did you think of this game? And what do we agree on the most exciting game of the playoff weekend?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say it was the most exciting one. I think the call at the end is what I just really want to focus on for a few reasons. One, once you throw a flag, it's sort of like you can't sort of pick it up, especially when something happened on the play. Like, there was some sort of contact, so something has to be called. Apparently, face guarding is not pass interference in the NFL, but there was contact made, so there has to be some type of call. Second, Dez runs onto the field. That's a penalty. So that's an automatic 15 yards at first. So, you know, there's so many things that I think were botched. And because there were so many things that were botched that you, it's that you really, especially in that, I know people are going to say that, oh, there was 8 minutes left, there's more to games, but if there's any sport where momentum means everything, and it's the sport of football, and that was a true, utter flip of momentum, not because of the actual call, but everything surrounding it. And I think that really hurt the Lions. I think Dallas did, though, prove something to me in that they were still down when all that happened, and they came back and scored the game-winning touchdown. So for all it's worth, they were the more clutch, or, you know, the more poised team. I don't know if that can be carried into Green Bay. We'll see. There's a lot of interesting nuances about that game, but I don't know. I just feel like I'm sort of torn and confused a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, this game for me, it was tough to pick. I mean, you know, it could have gone either way. Both teams don't have, don't have much playoff success within the last 20 years. So, I mean, Dallas put it off to the end. You know, they had to come back. They had to gather themselves and get it back together. But as far as that call, you know, I mean, if they would have let it go, I mean, I would have been perfectly fine with it. But they threw the flag and then picked it up with no explanation after you've explained everything so far in a game, you know, when there's a flag picked up. So I did have an issue with that. You know, but I thought Dallas Riley, they made the halftime adjustments. They played better in the second half. And, you know, old conservative Jim Caldwell, as I like to call him, this is the same guy. I pointed this out with the people that I watched him with yesterday. On that 4th-and-1, I was just like, he's not going to go for this. He's definitely trying to draw the other team off sides. The same guy who was, I believe, 13-0 or 14-0 and decided to rest his starters in the second half and lost in the Super Bowl that year. So, you know, I think Caldwell should have went for that 4th-and-1. I mean, you know, what are you waiting for? Next week is the playoffs. So I think that cost them the game, you know, because they did pick up the flag. And Dez Bryant also came onto the field with his helmet off. So I don't know. Maybe the refs were just looking out on that one. I don't really know. But, you know, the pass was bad, though, Chuck. I can't tell you that. It should have been over the corner's head and hit the receiver striding. I mean, it was a bad pass. So I think that's maybe a reason why they would just picked it up. But.
But the thing about that is that's the NFL. See, and that's the thing about the NFL. That call is the NFL that we live in today. Don't give us 16, 17 weeks of regular season football where that is the call. That is a pass interference any other time. And I think that's what hurts the most, I think, to Detroit fans, is because they know, and I think almost the rest of every other team other than Cowboys fans knows that that's a pass interference. Like, we hate that call, but that's what the call is. And it's kind of weird that now that was the call, but it's not, because they picked up – because they wanted to make the call, and then they said, no, we're not going to make it. So, you know, it's one thing, like you said, if they never call it, I don't think none of us are talking about this.
Yeah.
But they did call it.
Right. I mean, they threw the flag. I mean, you know, you shouldn't pick it up. I wasn't there. I mean, obviously, the refs, they pointed out that they're not a team. They were individual refs just put together. So, you know, maybe one had a stronger voice than the other. I really don't know. But if you throw the flag, I think you should have kept it because it was interference. But they didn't. So we move on. And as we move on, starting Saturday, 4:35. I don't really appreciate the time slots for this playoff weekend, but whatever. NFL, okay. Saturday about 4:30, Chuck, we got Baltimore at New England. New England is favored by 7, Chuck. Who you got in this one?
I got New England, but I don't have them covering. If there's one quarterback that I think can play head to head, or has shown that he can play at the head with Tom Brady is Joe Flacco. Not just on the year that I believe they did beat the Miami Dolphins to Super Bowl, but even the year before that, he outplayed Tom Brady in Foxborough. And if I forget, was it a drop pass in the back? It was that cost him the
Lee Evans drops the pass, the game winning.
Lee Evans drops the game winning pass in the back of the end zone. So, you know, it's easy to say Joe Flacco. You know, I think Joe Flacco is confident enough to go in there, but I just really think that this Patriots team is really good. I think Tom Brady is really, you know, he's really on a mission. He hasn't been in the Super Bowl for a few years now, so I really think he's on a quest to get back, and I just think that this is step one, and I think they'll get the job done.
Right. I'll take New England to win. But I'll take Baltimore plus the 7, because 7 is a lot of points. Like you said, the thing about the Ravens is they're a resilient bunch. They're not afraid to, you know, go into New England to win. But I think this is the toughest New England team that they have played as far as those playoff series go. And I'm interested to see, Revis and Browner, who they're going to take between the Smiths. And I think that's going to do so much damage, you know, with those two tough cornerbacks. I think Flacco throws a pick in this game. Throws a pick or two, so. But I'll take New England to win.
Flacco hasn't thrown a pick in the playoffs since 2012. He has 166 attempts, fourth all time.
Very aware. That's why I was making such a statement. But, yeah, he throws a pick in this one. Revis, Browner, Chung, one of those guys gets him. McCourty, maybe. So I think that he's going to throw one in this one. It's probably going to be in Smitty's direction. But, I'll take New England to win. Won't take the 7 points, though. So I'll take Baltimore plus 7. The later game, 8:15, got Carolina at Seattle. Chuck, Seattle favored by 11. Who you got in this one?
I want Carolina to win because I'm going to pick Green Bay, and that means Green Bay will be playing at home in the conference championship. Seattle will win, though. I just think that Russell Wilson always has a knack of making a play here or there, and he seems to make them at the most opportune and needed times. Marshawn, I feel like he's gonna grind it out and then bust a long one towards the end. And this game will pull away at the end, but it won't be indicative of how much of like a fight of a game it actually was. But yes, I think the Seahawks take the point. Will win and take the point.
Yeah, I agree. It's probably going to happen like that. A lot of defense, a lot of back and forth. Marshawn probably, breaks a long run. Cam Newton has to be good. Cam Newton has to be near perfect to win this game. I'm very interested to see. It's usually a close game between the two until towards the end, usually after a Cam Newton mistake. So I don't know. I want to see something. I want to see Cam perform this upcoming Saturday night. So I'm definitely interested. 11 points. I'm not going to take it. I'll take Carolina plus 11. I think Seattle will win, though. But 11 points, two good defenses. I just don't see the Seattle winning by 11, which would mean they would have to win by 12 or you lose money. So, but anyway, I'll take Carolina plus 11, but I think Seattle wins this one again. Sunday, first game, Dallas at Green Bay. Chuck, Green Bay's favored by 6. You taking the 6 points, or you think Dallas will cut a little closer?
Man, I'm taking the 6 points. This is my thing about Dallas. Dallas is a very good team. There's no denying that. They have a lot of good weapons. But what I think the game in Detroit showed yesterday is that if you can capitalize on their mistakes, you will win the game. There was plenty of times in the Detroit game where Detroit is supposed to score touchdowns when they're kicking field goals or they're punting the ball after getting the ball on, like, a three and out. And it's definitely the fact that you can't let a high-potent offense like that have so many chances to find, you know, scores and their big-time receivers and skill position players. I think Aaron Rodgers will be on point, and I think it comes down to the receivers. Will the receivers drop passes? In the last two Aaron Rodgers playoff games where he's had bad physical games and they've lost, it's because his receivers have dropped passes. If his receivers play up to par, I think Julius Peppers, A.J. Hawk, and Clay Matthews will get after Robo enough, make it hard for him, and the Packers will be in the championship game.
Yeah, I think also I'm going to agree there. I'm going to take Green Bay and the 6 points. Dallas is 8-0 on the road. Green Bay is 8-0 at home. Something has to give, right? But I'm going to take the home team, the championship quarterback, the playoff experience. So I'll take Green Bay, but I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas, you know, wins this game, just all the fact that they're Dallas. But, yeah, I'll take Green Bay and the 6 points. Indianapolis at Denver, you know how I feel about this, Chuck. I wish this game was the Saturday night game so Peyton could play really late at night. But instead, 4:40 p.m. on Sunday, I mean, the sun is going to be out. Maybe a little cold, but not too windy. Denver's favored by 7. Chuck, who you got in this one?
Well, I have Denver. I don't think the coach are that good of a team. I think they go as Andrew Luck goes, and I think if you could get him into a few mistakes, you basically have the offense to check. So I think the Broncos get after him, and they win this game, and they win this pretty handily.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Denver's going to win this pretty handily. I think they're going to run the ball well. I think they're going to run it so well on that defensive line of theirs in Indianapolis. And the play action is just going to be too much. I also see Andrew Luck with a couple of turnovers. Here's something I heard about Andrew Luck, though, which is crazy, which speaks to the maybe the non-talent around him. Most passing yards ever through 4 games, the playoff quarterback. Not the formula to, you know, win a Super Bowl, I don't think. Obviously, I guess he has won 2 to 3 playoff games at this point in his career, but they're against Cincinnati. So, yeah, I'm taking Denver in the 7 points. I think they will get after Indy. So, yeah, that's it for this week. We hope our teams win. Both of our teams in the playoffs. Weird, Chuck. But, yeah, we hope our teams win. I'm also going for the Pats. I hope they win. But that's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm guessing like 6:30 usually. Talk NBA. Big trade went down today, Chuck, involving one of my guys. So, talk NBA tomorrow. I'll catch up on the sport. Thank you for listening. Chuck and P, we are out.